You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in.
What's up, you beautiful soul? Welcome back to the Finding Direction podcast. This week, I'm sitting down with Jill Sinclair. And to tell you a little bit about Jill, she is an executive coach. She's a speaker, an author, and she's also a new TV personality on the docuseries called Coach. And on this episode, a few things that we talk about is what are some of those lessons that you learn from having 76 different jobs in your life? We also talk about how you can identify some of these success blockers in your life and then ultimately break through those success blockers. And we also talk about why motivation is a myth and what you actually need instead of having motivation to get you to the next place you want to go in your life. So we talk about all of this and a ton more in this episode. You are going to enjoy not only the value Jill brings, but I am certain you're going to enjoy her energy as well. She's a ball of joy, a ball of fun. And without any further ado, here we go. Jill Sinclair, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm in sunny Vancouver, Canada, and you're in Downey, California, and it's also very sunny there, I understand.
Absolutely. Beautiful places to be. So thank you again so much for coming here. I would love it as we kick this off, if you could give our audience a little bit of a background as far as just like kind of what was the beginning of your life look like? And, you know, how'd you
want to go there, do you?
Yeah. How'd you start off in this thing called life?
Well, I started off with a really, really shitty upbringing. It was full of abuse and abandonment. And so from a very early age, I understood that if it's to be, it's up to me, you know, for survival. I was the youngest of four kids. And I remember multiple times running away from my father, closing the door and pushing a dresser against the door because I didn't want to get beaten. And so for me, that's a reality of what I grew up with. Yeah. And then it got progressively worse, if you can imagine that. And so after I graduated high school, and by the way, I was not a good student. I was rebelling for various reasons. And so for me, it was always being that tough chick in school. And you know what, here's the battery, knock it off my shoulder. And the reason I did that, and we talked about my why and my purpose, my first why, of course, was survival. My second why was about just keeping people at arm's length. Because if I kept them at arm's length, then they couldn't get close to me and they couldn't find out how shitty my life was going to be. So when I share that story with a lot of the young people I work with, and they understand, oh my gosh, that person that is, you know, has that really tough exterior, they're probably going through some pretty heavy shit right now. So we should have some more empathy towards them. So, you know, here we go. I graduate high school. I had become a Christian. I thought the world was going to open up and it didn't, you know. I mean, if it's to be, it's up to me. And I made some interesting choices that didn't put me forward in good positions. So what I'm going to tell you right now is kind of the positive aspect of things, because my past happened. I can't change it. I'm grown from it. And I wouldn't be as strong and tough and resilient if I didn't go through that. And I've had, at last count, 76 jobs and occupations. What? 76. Now, that's not praiseworthy or cringeworthy. It's just a fact. You know, it's when people say, well, Jill, how is that possible? I'm like, okay. And then I literally go through the list of everything I've ever done. Huh. And right now, like, I've got two new TV shows that are coming out. So those are going to be like, you know, 77, 78.
Right.
But again, I collect experiences. And the more I collect experiences, the more I find out about myself. Hmm. And this is what life should be. It's a smorgasbord of things that are at your fingertips. And people say, oh, I don't know what I want to do. Well, go try something. But no, go try something. There's the door, fly sparrow, you know? And so for me, it's all about what can I experience and just really breathe life into for my possibilities. Because as I alluded to growing up, if it's to be, it's up to me, whether or not it's survival or right now thriving and growing and changing lives. And that's, I just got truth bumps. And that's truly what I'm about is having that and knowing that every single day, it's up to me to create what I want every single day. You know, whether I want to lay in bed all day or whether I want to get up and attack the world, it's up to me, no one else. And so there's great power, and there's also great responsibility in that. So that's a little bit of the background of me, kind of summarize a little bit of the shit and then a little bit of, oh, and then here I am today. And so today I'm an executive coach, author, keynote speaker, TED speaker, as well as a new TV personality. And so for me, again, it's just about embracing life and going, you know what? I'm just starting. Like, I just feel like my wheels are going right now. And there's no end in sight, because I don't want there to be an end in sight. I don't want to be on a cushy beach somewhere. I want to continue to change lives.
Yeah, that's incredible. And 76 different things. That's a Guinness Book World Record, I almost feel like. It's so cool, but I think it is so true. And this is something I share with people all the time. It's like, you have to not be afraid to experience and try things. And you have to be willing to understand that for example, those 76 things you did, there were probably several of them that you were like, yeah, this is not the thing.
But this is so not for me.
Yeah. What do you have, one of those 76 experiences that was like one, either like the one you were like, wow, this is absolutely not, like, I can't believe I tried this. Or was there one that was like an aha that lit the path to what you really wanted to do?
Well, I started thinking about, you know, even some volunteerism I did when I was younger, and I have always felt the need to help others, clearly because I was not helped myself. And so I innately had this inside of me. I remember being a punk kid in grade 6, smoking, drinking, selling dope. And at that time, it was a while ago, so it was illegal, in grade 6, right? So outside of school, I was, you know, this, not a well-behaved child or a teenager, whatever. And then I remember in school, I was in accelerated English. So I was literally mentoring young guys, right? And it always happened to be guys for whatever reason, right? And so, like, not that I was faking it in school, but, you know, my English teacher at the time said, Jill, we really love what you see. So I've always taught in some sort of capacity. I'm always giving back, right? Yeah. So my first job that I remember, first of all, not feeling safe and not feeling at all fulfilled, I was a taxi dispatcher, and it was in the seediest area of the seediest little town. And I remember we had to go up these creaky stairs, and there was all these guys, and all those movies that you watch about seedy, you know, taxi dispatchers. It's true. It's true, right? Me, here I am, and I'm like, oh my God, and I'm 19 years old. I didn't know what to do. Of course, I had no leadership growing up and no support. So after I graduated, I just floundered for years and years and years, right? So I believe I was at that job for, I don't know, gosh, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm like, I gotta get out of here because it's just not safe. Like, I would have to take the bus home, you know, and risking my life pretty much every single day. And then I believe the aha experiences is, I remember I used to have an exercise company. So I was in health and fitness. But right before I got the exercise company, I had to get all my certifications to be, you know, a 5, 6, 7, 8 aerobics instructor, right? And then also strength trainer, all that. And I remember being in front of the class looking at like 50, 60 people. I'm like, oh, holy shit, everyone's staring at me. I'm like, of course they are, you moron. You're teaching the class, right? Yeah. And weirdly enough, that just really hit me in the face and going, okay, wow, you're responsible for all of these people in the room to ensure that they're safe, they're getting a good workout, and you're the leader, and they're listening with bated breath to what you say. And that,
so cool,
still have taken into the rest of my life, you know, with great, what is that saying with
great responsibility? Great.
Great opportunity. We have the responsibility. Too much is given, too much is responsible, kind of thing, right? And not that, you know, it's coming from anything, but I just believe my responsibility to help others.
Yeah.
Right. When I know that this is my responsibility, I can't slack off. I can't take a shortcut because it's just not inside of me. Like, I just can't do that. So for me, it's all about, Jill, you have a responsibility. God and the universe has given this to you at a very young age. And I've just innately known that, you know, and so now, as you said, I mentor at risk and impoverished youth, and they happen to be between the ages of 17 to 27. And most of them happen to be male. I've got one female, but the rest are male. And, and it's a very, it's just so just humbling. And it's such an honor, and to be able to share with them and say, you know what, if you've been through abuse yourself, I can't know what you personally have felt, but I can stand beside you saying that I've been through a similar experience, right? Because everyone's going to feel it differently and experience it differently. And so for me to have that empathy, but as well, not to use it as an excuse, because I can't, You know, right. I could be bedridden for years and years and be, you know, everyone could say, oh yeah, Jill, she was abused growing up and she was abandoned and all these things. You know, she went through abuse with her first relationship. He threw her across the room in Oregon. You know, I could go through that, but I'm like, no, you know what? I just got to dust myself up and get on to the next mission that I have, you know? So for me, it's all about just taking advantage of the opportunity that the day gives us and then creating the possibility with the people I work with.
I love it. I have so many questions that I want to ask in all of this. And one thing I would be curious is, like, let's say you had one of these, you know, youth come to you and they say, hey, you know, I'm trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. And let's say you could only share three principles, three lessons with them, and then you could never talk to them ever again in your life. What would those three sort of like guiding principles be that you'd be like, I'm never going to talk to you again, but hey, remember these three things as you go and you figure out what you want to do with your life. What would those be?
The first thing that comes to mind is, I'm going to roll with this. I've got a talk that I do on stages in front of thousands. It's called How to Flush Your Shit Once and For All. And what we mean is, you know, shit can be like your excuses or this or that. So first of all, recognize when you're going through life, whatever is blocking you, recognize the excuses that come out of your mouth. Whatever those excuses are, I'm too young, I'm too old, I don't have the money to do it, I don't have this. Whatever those excuses are, recognize them and then change your mindset. So growing up, I was told I was not good enough. I was also shown I was not good enough. I was told I would never be successful. So that's changing that mindset. Guess what I have to do? Still, every single day. Yesterday, I was driving down to the beach. The water is my favorite thing to ever experience. Mm-hmm. Just to watch. You have a coffee, go for a run, do something by the beach, like pretty much every day.
Yeah.
And literally, a really bad memory came back to my mind. And I said, yeah, I just literally said, fuck off, Satan. You know, like, I just like, get behind me, Satan. Because you have to snap it back. You have to just like stand up to it so that memory goes away, right? So changing my mindset is still something that I habitually have to do. You know, I'm not superhuman. Sometimes those moments come. Yeah. So I recognize excuses, change your mindset, and then create an action, a plan. Those are the three trifectas of success, period. Right. Mm. So whether you have a goal for fitness, whether you have a goal to have a relationship, whether you have a goal for your entrepreneurship or your work, those three things will get you forward in life. Because again, my excuses, I could have just a crap ton of excuses of why I'm not doing something.
Yeah.
And none of them would make any sense. I'm just, you know, do you want to stack up your excuses or do you want to stack up your successes? Right. So those are my three points. What do you think of those?
Gotcha. So one was don't make excuses.
Recognize excuses first, right? So I don't want to say don't, but recognize them. Because once you recognize them, when someone says, oh, Jill, I'm too young, I'm like, only if you say you are.
Right.
Right. So recognize them. Does this actually really make sense? Right. So recognize them. Oh, okay. You know, do you want to fight to hold on to that excuse? Or do you want to see it for what it truly is? Jill, I don't have time. I call BS. We all have 24 hours in a day. Are you choosing not to make the time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now that lands differently. Right. So that's another excuse. Again, the biggest excuse. Have you ever said in your life, oh, I don't have time for that? Do you really not have the time or are you choosing not to make the time?
Right.
So when I'm coaching my people and even when I'm on a stage and I say that, they're like, oh, crap. Because once you say, you know what, I'm choosing not to do that. I'm choosing not to write my book today. I'm choosing not to follow up with that call today. Yeah. Then you're going, oh, crap, I'm calling myself out on my excuses, right? Now I'm saying I'm choosing not to do that. Well, guess what? If I choose that, then I'm not going to get the result that I say I want, right? And then changing the mindset. The mindset is a horrible thing that typically comes from a childhood something. Maybe it was an adult. Maybe you had a beautiful upbringing. Maybe your mindset is self-induced, you know, whatever that is. But the mindset is typically something that it's a barrier that you're coming up against, right? So again, it's like you're told you're not good enough, you know, abusive childhood, that kind of stuff. The mindset of, you know what, I just don't deserve success.
Yeah,
I don't deserve to be wealthy. I don't deserve to have a relationship. Well, that stems from something really horrible. So how do we change that mindset? We just have to start to change that every single day and speak it, a new mindset into existence. I am worthy. I am successful. Mm. I am worthy of a relationship, you know? And then, as you know, by your teachings, when you're speaking the I am statement, that is so powerful.
Yeah.
And your life literally changes, right? Of course. And I'm as a writer, I write everything down, right? So when you write those down, it just cements it in your mind. And then the final is to create an action plan. So you can have a plan that's 5 pages long or, you know, five paragraphs long, but it's not going to do you any good if you don't action that, yeah. right? So if you're not actioning it, you need to go back to step one. What are the excuses you're using for that, right? Yeah, so it's just this kind of this, a bit of a hamster wheel. But again, yeah. I find time and time again, whether I'm coaching CEOs of Fortune 500 companies or whether I'm mentoring a 19-year-old kid, you know, it's the same thing. You're like, oh, Jill, you know, I caught myself on my excuse again today. I say, awesome, yeah. cool. And then what did you do? I got into action. Awesome.
Yeah, I love it. And it's extremely digestible too, right? Yeah. It's like gain the awareness, change your mindset. What's the action you're going to take? And then as you take that action, another thing's going to come up and then you got to recognize it. Right. And it's like you said, but if you just, if that's all you did, I love that. That's beautiful. So cool. What's up, my friends? It's Stu and I have big news. After interviewing hundreds of people on their journey in life and experiencing my own journey to a life full of fulfillment and passion, I finally put together a special guide just for you. And it's called 3 Steps to Finding Direction in Under 10 Minutes. And you can go grab it at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. If you're feeling lost and like you're not quite sure what you want to do with your life, this guide will help you figure out exactly what your next step is in just under 10 minutes. You're not alone in this journey, and I'm excited to guide you through this process until you've truly created a life that you love. Go grab the guide at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. I look forward to helping you create your dream life.
One thing I'd be curious to hear from you is, you know, just kind of staying on this idea of like 76 different things you've tried, you've continuously are a life seeker. You know, you're yeah. grasping onto different experiences, trying new things, pushing yourself, all of this. And somewhere in this, I think if someone looked at your life from the outside, they would go, man, this woman, Jill, she is motivated. She's driven. And I know one of the things you talk about, and I believe you have a book coming on as well, is that like motivation is a myth, right? And that it's not real. And so I'm curious for you, like, if motivation is a myth, what do people need instead of motivation? And what have you had instead of motivation?
Well, I love this. And it's so interesting because it's just a different look on things. When I'm coaching people, I say, hey, try this on for a minute. Just try this on, take what you want, put down the rest, right? Because not one of us has the exact keys to life. When I've introduced this thing, and yes, it's going to be my new book coming out. I haven't set a date yet because I've got my TV show coming out. I want to align with that. Right. Motivation is a myth. It's just like a unicorn, really hard to find and really hard to keep. So instead of looking for that mythical creature called motivation, what you need to do is get on that steady old workhorse called commitment. And that sounds, yeah, Jill, whatever, commitment. Well, here's the thing. If you're not committed to yourself, you're not going to do it. Today, I did not want to get on the treadmill. I'm not just saying that, you know, some people are like, oh, I didn't, you know, get more likes or whatever. They're saying they're relatable. I really didn't. I had so much else to do. I knew I had to be ready for you, you know, in the afternoon. I'm like, you know, I could just put it off and maybe do it after, but I knew I wouldn't do it after our you know, recording. Right. So I'm like, Jill, get it done now. Was I motivated? No, but what I did was I just stopped thinking about it. I went down to the gym and I put on my sneaks and I just started running, literally started running. So it's not about sitting in your head at all. You have to just get in. Again, it's all about action, right? Get into action because that's the only thing that is going to create change for you, right? So the whole thing with motivation and saying that, people say to me all the time, and perhaps they say to you as well, Stu, chill. You're so lucky to be motivated all the time. I'm like, hold on. I'm not motivated 3/4 of the time. I don't even think about being motivated. I just get into action because I know what I need to do. I've got a list of things every single day, my follow-ups, my phone calls, my this, my that. And I just need to, I look at them, okay, and I just start to do them. I don't give myself time to talk myself out of it. I think a lot of people, they get in their heads and there's all these little other tricks. You know what? Just do it. Just, like Nike, I believe, has got it nailed from what, 40, 50 years ago. Just do it. You don't need tricks. Just do it. Just get into that action and know, like, I know when I'm finished my exercise, I'm going to feel amazing. I'm going to feel like I've succeeded. I've done something. I've honored myself. Because if I'm not healthy, I can't continue to pour into others, right? And so again, the motivation, you know, people either look at it as an excuse and, you know, oh, I haven't been tapped with the fairy dust of motivation. Well, neither have I. So if you really want it, you're just going to have to get into it, right? And that goes back as well to the whole, you know, what is your why? What is your reason and purpose? Why do you want this? You tell me you want to make $500,000 a year. Why? Oh, because this just a number I came up with. Well, why? Like that little kid that's 4 years old. Why? Again, when you drill it down, I just accepted a new one-on-one client. I don't accept a lot of them because they have to be extraordinary. And I asked this person, I said, okay, so, you know, why do you have that monetary goal? And they told me that they have a family back home, a very large family, that the brothers and sisters, and they have to pay some medical bills. What did that tell me right away? This person is committed. Yeah. Their why is so freaking big because it is unselfish. So they are going to do, and I just got truth bumps again, they're going to do everything that they can to be successful because their why is so compelling. So tell you what, I send this person a contract right away. They signed, I'm working with them because I know their why is going to get them there, right? Because it's, and their why will change. Once they become very, very successful monetarily, they won't have that worry anymore. So they're going to have a different why the road, right? So we evolve with our whys, right? But again, this person's motivation, if you will, is really about they just want a better life for their family. Right. Yeah. So their commitment is going to trump motivation every single day. Right. Yeah. So does that make sense to you? Is it the difference between that?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. And one of the things I'm a huge believer as well is like the bigger the why, the easier the how. It's like you never need more answers. You need more reasons. Right. And so let's say someone listened to this and they're like, okay, well, yeah, if my family had medical bills and I had to pay that, like, and I had that big why to pull me, that's awesome. But like, what if I don't know my why? Like, how do you walk someone through the process of getting crystal clear on what their why is? Because from what it sounds like, once someone's really clear on that why, the commitment comes with a strong why. So how can we help someone figure out with clarity what is their why?
That is very interesting. So I really feel like this. So with a new group of young guys that I'm mentoring, we start talking about, they're like, Joe, I'm not really sure, you know, what I want to do, what, because I just graduated. I'm not really sure. I said, okay. Well, yeah. And then I just start talking. I do career visioning as well for people. Mm-hmm. And I teach that at a university level. And so we talk about what is the personality style? What role were they in the family? Those kinds of things, and really go deep on that. And then start to explore different occupations that they perhaps hadn't even heard of yet, right? And then I say, okay, this is not a science that's always going to work out every single time. What I want you to do is, what do you believe brings you joy? You know, is it painting? Is it playing music? Is it like, what brings you joy today? Like, I want to, if you're wanting an occupation, you don't necessarily want to be an entrepreneur. If you want an occupation, yes, we'll look through that. But also, what brings you joy today? You know, when you get out of bed, what puts a smile on your face, right? And it could be anything. You could be the next music producer. You could be the next NFT person, you know, you could be anything you want. But a lot of people don't understand that you can start to put in what you love and literally make a job out of it, right? So as an executive coach, that's exactly what I've done. Some people, they ask me, Jill, If I get this straight, so you literally create your own life. I said, yeah. So how do you do that? I say, I wake up knowing what fulfills me. And that's my why. What fulfills me is that I need to help support other people because I know I wasn't supported growing up. So part of it too is the validity of that, right? And knowing that people do need me and that they're learning and that they're growing and that they're looking at their possibilities, right? So a young person, if they don't know what they want to do as an occupation, their why is actually to explore, right? Their why is, well, actually the result is to explore, right? But they're exploring because they want to find out what they like. It's kind of like Gary Vaynerchuk when he says, you know what, just go out and try a bunch of different things. Literally pretend you're at a smorgasbord. How do you know what you like if you haven't even tried it yet, right? Try that shrimp, try that avocado, try those things. I'm not saying be a quitter by any means. Don't be a quitter and just try things, you know, just for, you know, leave people in the lurch, you know, but go, okay, I'm going to give a really concerted effort into trying, you know, this occupation or this occupation, and then really finding out more about it. But what I've asked my young people to do as well is really, you should be looking to connect with people and have an informational interview, you know, have a coffee, have a Zoom, yeah, have something, you know, yeah, and find out really what is that, does that job entail? I, long time ago, one of my jobs was, it was in consumer goods and it was a worldwide company. I won't mention who it was, worldwide company. And I remember when I got the job, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm at the panacea. Like, I like, holy crap. Like, this is amazing.
I made it.
I got in the job and it was like an order taker. It wasn't this, you know, sexy, gorgeous, fabulous. I was literally just taking orders. And I'm like, wow. And it was a very, very poisonous, bitter, horrible environment. And so I got in there right when a whole bunch of people were going out the door, right? And when I asked the management, so why are these five people, yeah, leaving? Oh, we're changing the structure, right? They had a good answer for me. And I wasn't, yeah, schooled enough to know that they're basically lying to me, right?
Yeah.
But again, you know, it's just one of those things that I didn't know until I tried, right? Didn't know until I tried. So once I tried that and found out what it really was, then I'm like, okay, I've done that. You know, it's off my list. I'm not, you know, sleepless nights or whatever, right? So again, just trying different things, but not being that lazy person that's going, oh, things will just come to me. No. Get yourself out there and be a yes person. You know, there's some people saying, oh, be a no. You just need to say no more. I'm like, I think a lot of people need to say yes more. Like, yeah, say yes more to experiences, say yes to opportunities. I wouldn't have this, these new TV shows in development now if I wasn't a yes to what I wanted, if I didn't continue to pursue that and go, oh, you know what? If it's supposed to happen, it's going to happen. Nah, you got to put the action in. You got to put the work in, right?
Yeah.
And again, I wouldn't know that I wanted to even be a speaker until I got on the stage. And then I was asked to be a TED speaker, my second talk. What? Like, that was, what?
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh my God, like, too much is given, much is expected. I think that was the saying I was trying to come up with.
Too much is given, much is expected,
right? And then I remember that. And I'm like, wow, there's an opportunity to really change lives at a larger scale. This is such an honor to be able to do this, right? But if I hadn't said yes to that, if I hadn't been, you know, my knees knocking, scared, like a TED talk, what? Then, you know, so again, saying yes to that and learning along the way. I'm that person that jumps in the deep end and figures it out 100%. Jump in the deep end and go, oh, okay, crap. Okay, now what do I do? Right?
Yeah. So I think a beautiful takeaway someone can take from this that's listening to this as well is like, what's the thing that you need to say yes to in your life right now? Maybe there's like a recent opportunity that came. Maybe there's something that you've been thinking about doing and you've been maybe a little scared or hesitant or like, what's that thing you've been thinking about saying yes and say yes to it, figure it out, and then magic's going to start to happen. But you have to be willing to say yes. I agree 100%. And you'll taste things, you'll try more things, and you're going to get more clarity in the next step. And so like, let's say someone says yes and they keep saying yes and they keep pushing forward in their career. I know, you know, one of the things you talk about when you work with high level executives and high achievers really is helping them sort of define these things called success blockers and then break through those things called success blockers. So I would be curious for someone that's listening to this and goes, okay, well, what the heck is a success blocker? Like, if you could share with us what exactly you mean by that and how does someone figure out what is their success blocker?
Well, it's very interesting because a lot of people, it's right at the surface and they just really have to do a bit of an inward look and they find it. Sometimes it's because they don't know what they don't know, right? So I just finished doing some work with two business owners, they're partners, and their success blockers are completely different. One of them, his personality was a little similar to mine. He was like, he would make decisions quickly, and we were on the same page with that. He wasn't as vivacious and, you know, blah, 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 but he was like, boom, right? The other one, super analytical. And what I found was the one that was super analytical, he had a lot of ego. He had a lot of ego, right? So his ego about being afraid, though, about making decisions. He was afraid that he would make the wrong decisions, so he would put them off. And definitely the other owner would get, you know, upset because he's like, make a freaking decision.
Yeah.
Right? But this guy, and I'm like, okay, here, we need to have like a sidebar with each of you. And so I had a conversation with each of them individually, and that brought them together. But they also, they wanted different outcomes for their company. One of them wanted to sell it at a huge profit. The other one wanted to like live and die and breathe it, yeah. Right? Did you even have that conversation before you started the company 15 years ago? And they didn't, right? So it's knowing that, how about just having a conversation about what is happening in your business and what would you like to happen in your business and why isn't that happening right now? Oftentimes, the success blocker truly is the ego, and usually ego is insecurity. Ego is jealousy. Ego is those things. It stems from something, and ego is like this, right? So when you can take those hands, the mufflers even off the ears for someone to listen to, hey, I'm an outsider coming in. And guess what? I've got really great eyesight on this. And I see it from a different lens. And so, you know, you've hired me to change your company from within and get the results that you want. So what we have to do is we got to leave the ego at the door. This is a safe space for us. And what we have to do is we have to figure out, okay, so what are the next steps? And boldly go where no man has gone before, right? Like boldly go there, because that's what it takes, is going, okay, you know what? I'm the one that comes in with the new ideas. And it's interesting, because with these two guys, I told them, you need to hire, I helped them to hire a CEO. I said, you need to hire someone that is willing to like literally jump in, be aggressive, and get you to a place that you're not willing to go on your own. First of all, because you don't know how. And second of all, because even if you did know how for parts of it, you're not willing to, because you're not stepping into your confidence or your brilliance, right? So I brought this one guy in, and he was brilliant. He used to be a football player, a professional football player. Huh. So what do I know about a professional football player? He's going to be a great team player, right? Because he was in the league for many, many years, as well as he knows how to run the ball to the end, right?
Yeah.
So he's got these traits that I want. He came in with these brilliant ideas. The owner said, yeah, he scares me. I'm like, he should scare you. because he's willing to do what you're not, right? To get your business. Unfortunately, they didn't hire him, and that didn't go well, right? So these things about success blockers is basically saying, what is the biggest challenge? And you got to talk to someone about it. Like whether it's a mentor, a business coach, someone is going to have a different outlook on your business, right? So I had this other company that come to me. They phoned me, they saw me online somewhere, and they said, oh, hi, you know, this is so-and-so, and we'd like you to come in to do some etiquette training. Now, what does that tell me right away on the phone? If a company needs etiquette training, bad hires, bad management, and no company culture right away, right? Yeah. So I could have easily cashed in on a 1 to 2 hour etiquette training. But what I did was, hey, you know what? I'm just finishing off a meeting. I'm going to call you back in about an hour and a half. So I Googled the crap out of them, found out more about their business. And then I called them back, and we literally had a 40-minute conversation on the phone. Because what did I have to find out? Are they coachable? You know, where did they want to see their business going? What else did they perceive was going on? And they still like, you know, this etiquette training. So I got the meeting with them, and then I came in, and I literally came up with a proposal that said, I'm going to interview each one of your employees, and I'm going to find out what their thoughts are on what's going, what their career visioning is, all the things that you haven't asked them. And then I'm going to come up with a plan and a new proposal of what training should happen. And they're like, oh my God, no one has ever spoken to us like this. Yeah. No one has ever asked them questions, Jill. Like, yes, they signed on the spot.
That's great.
So again, what is the success blocker? They didn't know what it was because they hadn't been at like an entrepreneur.
They're in it.
They get into the business because they're good at what they know, right? They're good at IT or whatever it is. Do they know how to run a business? No. So they're looking at, oh, this is what we think the problem is. So my specialty is giving you not what you want. I give you what you need. And I'm not afraid to come forward with that.
Yeah.
They could have easily said no.
Yeah.
Not really, not to me. They wouldn't say no to me, right?
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? Like the success blockers, you've got to be able to have a conversation, because if you recognize your own success blockers and you're not getting over them, well, then what are you doing? What are you doing, my friend, right? So that's the whole thing. Like, I know that I'm very impatient. And guess what? In business, that can do me very well. In a relationship, a personal relationship, that doesn't do me as well, right? So is that a success blocker in a relationship? Possibly. So I've got to work on that all the time, right? Because I like results, you know, right? Yeah. So again, if it's to be, it's up to me. Always look internally first. And if you can't really figure out, if you're at that stuckness with your business, get an outsider's view in, because we see things completely differently than you do. Yeah. And I'm a problem solver. I solve problems all day long, and it's what I'm really good at, right? So that's the difference, is
right.
Putting aside that ego, which is typically insecurity, jealousy, all those negativities, and saying, you know what? I need help.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love it. That's, someone once told me it. They're like, if you're in like the inside of a jar, you can't see the label, right? So it's like, you need someone from the outside to say, no, this is what's actually going on, and help you make that shift. So I love the way that you shared that. And so I'm curious, you've added so much value here. If people want to see what you're up to, I know you are only at 76 things and you have another 76 at least to come. So if people want to see, you know, what you continue to do in this world and what you're up to now, where's the best place for them to find you and hang out with you?
Oh, I love this. Go on Instagram, Ms. Jill Sinclair, MS Jill Sinclair. Also go to jillsinclair.com. You can find out some of my tidbits on there. And also for my free mentoring. And when I say free, I vet everyone that comes into it, because we don't give our mentoring just to anyone. We give it to people who are exceptional and that are going to be valuing that, right? So headstartmentoring.com. There's a really cool video on there with some of my mentees. And again, it's all about giving back. And then the new TV show that's coming out is called Coach, and it's with Ed Milette, Jim Quick, David Meltzer, John Asarov, Vision. So all of these greats in the industry. So I'm very, very honored and excited to be a part of that. So that should be coming out, I think, in the fall. But Ms. Jill Sinclair on Instagram and jillsinclair.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we will put all that in the show notes for everybody. And my last question I have for you, we ask all our guests, because we want to help people find direction, but do it through action, which I know you're a fan of. Is what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 40 hours to start finding direction in their life?
Well, it's just, again, it's asking that question. What puts a smile on your face? As simple as that. What puts a smile on your face? Is it helping a little old lady across the street? Is it painting? Is it singing? What puts a smile on your face? Yeah. And then start to do more of that. Seek out opportunities that will let you do more of that.
Love it. All right. Simple and extremely doable in the next 24 hours, definitely. So, Jill, thank you again so much for being here. You've been so much tremendous value. So thank you for everything you do. Thank you for your time. And we all appreciate you here on the podcast.
Thank you. Woohoo!
Love it.
Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on the Finding Direction podcast. Make sure to give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that sets your soul on fire. So congratulations. I hope you got some incredible nuggets from Jill. And more importantly, I hope you start applying those things to your life, my friend. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would be extremely grateful if you would go to iTunes and leave us a quick review. Let me know, what did you enjoy? What do you want more of? What do you want less of? Or let me just know in there, what was one of the biggest nuggets you got from today that you're going to apply to your life? That is how I continue to make the show better for you every single week and make this a better experience. So go on there, let me know how you're doing, how you like it, what you want more of, less of, all the good juicy details. Let me know all of them, my friend. If you do that, I will be extremely, extremely grateful. And from my heart to yours, I want to say thank you. Other than that, that's all we got for today. Go out, enjoy the rest of your day. Make this life a beautiful experience, because you only get one, my friend. And remember, you are your masterpiece. Your life is a masterpiece, so make it great. I'll talk to you on the podcast soon.